Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 337. You got me, Josh. That was a good one. The cord kept pulling the recorder and it kept turning, so I kept having to adjust it. And finally, once it was properly, it didn't stop turning, I started and Josh gave me a big old thumbs up. So thanks, Josh.
He lost it.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much, folks.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. Not at the end of the day on a Wednesday, no. It does not. Well, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
So.
Is it a happy Wednesday? Have you had a good Wednesday so far?
I think so. We'll wait for Tim to give me the official notification. Speaking of which, mute my phone.
A lot of good stuff came out this week.
Yeah, it was a good week. But it's funny because the detective weeks are always a little, to me in my mind, are a little less than the Batman weeks. Just the, because it used to be Batman, Superman, detective action.
Right.
And I had more holds for Batman and Superman than I did for detective and action. So they just always seem to be stronger weeks as far as books held and things like that. But
when's the last time you had more holds for detective than for Batman? Or have you never?
Probably during Snyder's run.
Okay.
Because Batman then, it was Tony Daniel writing and drawing, and it wasn't that...
In the 30s?
That big. But that's pre-New 52.
Right. But that was just pre-New 52.
Yeah,
it was right before.
Right before, yeah. Batman wasn't... I mean, it did well, but it was never a top seller, Batman and Detective. They just kind of were. They weren't, you know, juggernauts that they've now become. Again, you know, they used to be strong.
Back in the 30s.
No, not that long ago. But I'd love to see, you know, like Uncanny X-Men come back and, you know, be the big leader. And, you know, I even remember, like, during Straczynski's Thor, it was always like, oh, it's a Thor week. Great, because I'd have, you know, half a short box just of Thor for hold. So it's like when Master Race was coming out, it was like, yes, you know, when a new week of those, because I knew that was going to be a good week.
That obviously did better than, like, Doomsday Clock, didn't
it? Doomsday Clock's doing well.
Okay.
No, Doomsday Clock's doing very well, but I can't count on it to pay the bills.
Yet, so.
You know, Doomsday Clock also does the thing that I like, is it gets people in the store. You know, the guy who only comes in monthly will come in that week because of that. So that's nice, because then, you know, they're clearing out folders and things like that. So Doomsday Clock's good for that. But, you know, same thing, so was Master Race. You know, those big event-type books like that, people want to get right away. So... But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
I know, I saw that.
Pat. Spencer.
Dave.
Josh showed me the graphic for the hurricane, which did not quite go the way they wanted.
Always look like dicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because it's just the shape of the hurricane and its path. Making it pink was probably not the best choice.
Why do they always look like dicks, though? Like, what's why...
well, because the joke. Because you have the eye and the swirly around that, and then just the path of where it's been. It's that kind of shit. Hey now, family podcast. Yes. I'm sure the microphone did not pick that up at all. Now everybody's rewinding.
Have you listened to
our
podcast?
No, I haven't.
It's not the best microphone. It's older. It functions. It's not the best.
They get what they pay for. So.
You trying to say our listeners are not good enough to deserve quality?
No, not at all. Not at all. But.
Man.
It is a free program for them.
You should charge.
I don't even do charge? I don't even do a Patreon, you know, to ask people to send money.
Do a Patreon.
No. Then I'd feel pressure to make it better, you know, and do more preparation and things.
Fair point.
This way is like, hey, if you're listening, thanks.
We can get sponsors.
Yeah, we could. It's funny. Ahoy just sponsored the off-panel one. He took a break in the middle to talk about them, and I just saw that Aftershock is going to be sponsoring some Word Balloon podcasts that they have their creators on talking about their books. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting.
Yeah, but then you got to, like, edit to put...
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
You don't want to do that.
Not particularly.
So they're just sponsoring the ones where their creators are on.
Right.
Okay, that's good.
Right.
But we got to get some creators on here. Come on, man.
Again, work... Just saying. I don't have a cool company and a fun hat.
I don't either.
Know.
But don't you have Scott Snyder's contact info?
Somewhere, yeah.
Somewhere.
It's in my backpack.
Better than a cool hat for getting a creator on.
That is true.
That's true.
We'll call call
it is,
Scott.
It is a cool hat, though.
I'll get
Did he get you a cool hat?
No.
No? Oh, that's interesting.
No. He probably doesn't have a cool shirt, though, because he wasn't shopping here then. 8 years ago.
It's
damn,
comic
8 years ago. Wow.
That's when you switched over to...
Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy. Yeah, because when I first started coming here, it was called Pittsburgh Comics, but...
all the stickers Google, still said New Dimension.
Google
well,
Maps and everything
right,
still had you listed
right,
as New Dimension Comics.
Right. Yeah, that just took a while to move that over. So.
Share a Coke with Courtney Peel to share.
What?
It's Courtney.
Nope, doesn't leave.
It's Courtney Love.
Don't poke a hole in the side of your Coke bottle. Oh. Okay. So. Shoot.
Sip and scan.
Wow. Coke is cutting edge. Maybe you can send a free one to somebody. Oh, great. Now it's going to be on there forever. Way to go.
I know.
And Debbie's going to ask who Courtney is.
I'll tell her Courtney bought me 2 starter chips.
Ooh. Neener. Mm-hmm. I see where you're going with this. Okay. So, news-wise, I actually had some things in my head, and they all went away.
Liddell.
Oh, yeah.
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know.
Because they announced he was out, and then the agent said, no, the cape is still in the closet. So.
But then Warner Brothers...
He was out. It was just some random rumor, I thought.
Yeah.
But then Warner Brothers released a very unclear, vague... There are no plans at this time.
Well, there are
many. Relationship with...
Yeah, but they don't have any movies they're working on right now, so... Who knows? And he may have, you know... Who knows?
It is a weird thing, because if there's no movies announced right now, why would anyone even, like, come out and say... Oh, yeah, he quit the role. Like, well,
right.
You don't quit. You haven't been hired for a new movie yet.
Right.
Well, if he still had some left on his contract, they might have said, all right, we're going to let the contract lapse. And...
But the first thing I saw said that he actually, like, quit the role, which seemed weird.
Mm.
Like, you wouldn't be quitting it unless there was actively a movie in production, and you're saying, like, I'm bouncing. But
I don't know.
Hope they get their act together.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do need to. I was just saying, I can't think of any comic-related news. I do apologize. I should write this stuff down. I'm an unreliable news source. I apologize.
I saw that Kyle Higgins is doing a Winter Soldier book.
Yep, they just announced
December.
That today. Yep.
Yeah, he should be doing the Nightwing book.
He should be doing the Nightwing book.
You don't, not Scott Lobdell?
No.
Oh, you're such a hater.
But you liked Scott Lobdell as Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yes, but I like Kyle Higgins' Nightwing a lot better.
Saying, you might be pleasantly surprised. I won't be checking it out. I dropped Nightwing already, and I can't go back.
Yeah, you could, but you're choosing not to.
Can't.
You're not that far behind.
No. Tim actually physically will not let me buy a book once I've dropped it.
Really?
Yeah, he stops me. I make my bed, I have to sleep in it.
So if you don't make your bed, where do you sleep?
Basement.
Wherever he wants.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Do you make your bed?
I do, every morning.
Really?
Yep. I pull it together. I mean, I don't take everything off and make it. Straighten it together, because I hate getting into an unmade bed, because especially if I'm getting in second, normally there's not enough there for me. Yeah. So if I make it, then I'm safe. Or again, at least pull it together.
I feel that pain.
Yeah, so. That's all. And that's all I'm going to say about that. No. Sorry. Tim, you know any other news? I can't think of anything. I know something came up that I remember thinking. Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't. It's been crazy at work.
Yeah.
Normally I'd look at things while I'm eating lunch, but I have been skipping lunch.
Oh, and Tim's just making a living hell here, so. I'm glad he laughed.
He's just like, you haven't seen anything yet.
Either laugh or cry, and you just want to make
No,
him cry.
Especially now we've lost Adam as a helper. No more Adam.
He's done completely.
With his big job at the library.
He's done completely now.
I think after Saturday. Oh. I think he'll be here Saturday. So if you want to say goodbye to Adam.
I thought I was saying goodbye to Adam.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. We're canceling his polls. He's done.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he has to start buying his books now. It's, you know, got a, that you know, big library money.
He's just gonna wait to see.
That's his whole paycheck.
Pretty much.
He's just gonna wait to have the library pick him up a couple months down
right,
the line.
Right. He's going trades only, and then
he should have stuck around one day a week just to, you know.
That's what I thought. I thought we'd still have him like on Saturdays, but no. No, he's at the big FU. Yeah.
So who are you gonna bring in now?
I don't know. Next person that gets unemployed. That seems to be how it works. For the unpaid help, not the paid help. I sought Tim out.
Can we just clone Tim?
If I could.
Two Tims.
I don't know what the process is. It might be painful.
I've seen Multiplicity. It's not that bad. Just don't go to like four.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, they get dumber as you go on. So.
Stop at three Tims? Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
First, I'm going to clone Maggie, and then we'll start.
Good call.
Yeah.
Did we get any questions for the podcast?
No, we did not. That's what I was checking. I did ask, though.
I saw you ask.
But no, I have zero Twitter notifications.
Well, now you're sad.
My other Twitter, on my personal Twitter, I had to make a nasty tweet. Because it's National Chocolate Chip or Chocolate Milkshake Day.
Let me guess. You went to get a milkshake.
I went to get in and
from McDonald's.
And a certain company was doing buy one, get one. I had a coupon on my phone.
A coupon. And I'm guessing their milkshake machine was broken.
It was. So I tweeted to them going, you'd think you might wanted to check that in the morning to make sure it was working, or maybe even yesterday.
How do you know it didn't break due to the volume of milkshake?
Well, versus. Unless they had a whole lot by 11:30 this morning, I'm going to say it was probably down. Or no, when did I go to lunch? Maybe 1:30, sorry. I may have gone after lunch. But
maybe this was intentional.
Maybe.
They say they're doing the half-off milkshakes, but then it's broken.
Right.
So you buy something else instead, and they still get the goodwill of saying, we tried to offer you a half-off milkshake, but we just couldn't do it.
But see, the problem is the only reason I went there for lunch was to get the milkshake.
Yeah.
So now I won't go back because they made me mad. And sadly, or luckily for me, there are plenty of food options in the immediate vicinity.
But we're spiteful. Somebody who's not quite as spiteful might just go, oh, bummer. Okay,
no,
I'll get something else instead.
Because it seemed like a little bait and switchy to me. So.
I'll get a Blizzard. Or not a Blizzard. I'll get a
McFlurry. No, you couldn't. Everything was done.
Oh,
you can't even get coffee there. I had a coupon for a free one of the fancy coffees. Oh, sorry, the coffee machine's down. It's like everything's down at that McDonald's. So.
Oh, well, that's.
I'd rather not go because who knows? Maybe the fryer's down and we just don't know it.
The big McDonald's on 19?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went for one of their fancy Mac Cafe things because I had a coupon. And
is this coming to America?
The Mac Cafe? Yeah, that's how I feel. Well, no, whatever it is.
McDougal's? Or McDowell's, yeah.
Coupon is from comedian Ron
White.
Yes, yeah, he was doing a thing where he had a coupon because he went to like some outdoor festival and you couldn't pay cash for something, you had to buy coupons to use them, so he called them coupons and they were out, but he's like, but I have all these coupons, and it's like, too bad, and you couldn't turn the coupons back into money, but he kept calling it coupon, so we just kind of adopted that as
gotcha.
A family term. They're now coupons.
Okay. So. I wondered the origin of you calling it coupon.
Yeah, so now you know.
No, is that
the origin of the coupon?
Now we have the zero issue.
Yes, that was the zero issue. Number one, already fully established using coupons, and now zero came after number one to explain.
I hate the zero issue.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. I really can't stand it.
I hear you.
There's no reason why the origin issue can't just be a numbered issue.
But instead of, now, like, I like the zero issues during, like, 0 hour. That kind of made sense to do those zero issues. But then Marvel had to one-up it and doing minus one issues.
Oh, yeah.
Before the story.
Yeah.
I liked it when DC did the new 52 zero month.
Yeah.
I like most of those.
I don't have a problem with the content. I just don't like the idea of the, we're already this many numbers in, and now it's going to be a zero number.
What about
if
they start the series with a zero? Sometimes you get that they start with a zero,
that's
then
okay.
One.
So be it.
Okay.
It's dumb. It still exists. It's not null. So it's really issue number one. Zero is null. But, I mean, whatever. I mean, if we're not going to be anal about it, by anal I mean correct, then yeah, sure, the zero at the very beginning is fine.
Yeah, I mean, they can just call it issue 13 and still do the origin story like he's sitting there.
Because then, where do you... Like you said, where do you put it at? Do you put it in the zero spot?
You put it in the back, like with an annual?
Or do you put it where it actually was released at? Because
I put it where it was released at.
Because a lot of times those books, what was happening in the book previously kind of led into why they're telling that origin at that point. Yeah. So it just is dumb to me.
I got you.
I appreciate it.
I hear you. I feel your pain.
I also don't like when the annual continues the story that's been going on in regular numbers.
Agreed. Yeah. Now, in some sense, I like it, where it might be a wrap-up or a lead-off, but I understand, because then where do you put it? Yeah.
Yeah. To me, the annual should just be some sort of, like, one-off.
See, even with annuals, I put it when they came out.
And I get that in collections a lot, and then it's like, where do, you know, but typically you put it at the end. That's where I put them in the boxes. So.
It just didn't always, like, the point of the annual is supposed to be some, like, bigger one-shot or you know, anthology kind of thing. But
didn't some of the Marvel annuals, they used to all tie together? Did they do Atlantis?
Sometimes, yes. Attacks? Yeah, they did events. Yeah. Marvel, or DC did that, too, with
like the Gorilla Song, or
Blood Syndicate or whatever.
Planet of the Apes or something like that.
Doesn't Marvel do annuals more sparingly than DC does?
Not particularly. I like how DC... hang on, sorry. Just responding to Tim.
I just thought when I was still buying Marvel, I don't recall seeing very many annuals where DC...
They used to be in the summer. It used to be more of a summer-type thing. Now, I like the way DC does it in the sense that they do them for the 5-week months so that they can keep their books on a schedule. And then that last week still have product to come out, where Marvel doesn't have a schedule, and they're much more willy-nilly as far as when the books ship.
Can't find these things.
Right, but like DC is much more a, you know, first week is going to be this, you know, first week is Detective, second week is Batman, third week is Detective, you know.
Yeah.
So they're more that way. So fifth week does get some slides, but typically we'll get annuals. We're Marvel. I mean, like, we're getting a bunch of annuals this month for no reason. In my mind, no reason, only because it's a 4-Wednesday month, but, like, we just got,
Well, as long as they don't have the regular issue and the annual coming out the same
week. Yeah, well, that actually happened with Daredevil this week only because I got my Daredevil damage replacements in.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think. We got, there's a Spider-Man annual coming out next week. I know I did the marketing on it, so hopefully people get added for all these, but yeah, there are, but, and the annuals on some stuff that, like, you're at issue 3, and all of a sudden you have an annual, it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird place for it, but.
Yeah, Marvel may do them a little bit less. I think DC does it more, like I said, along the lines of filling those 5th weeks.
Well, but Marvel also restarts the numbering.
Much more often.
Yeah, so you have a bunch of annual number 1s.
Right. It's going to get confusing, yeah. Yeah, the only problem I find with annuals is, like, on, I think it was a book recently, it might have been Wonder Woman, where we got annual number 2 and somebody wanted, oh, do you have number 1? It's like, no, it came out a year ago, you know.
Yeah.
Don't always have books a year later.
Why
not? How can you not plan ahead?
Because
like
I sell
that?
Out. I can't keep stuff in stock that long.
Colin the sellout.
Don't try, but I'm aiming more to now than before. Just... It's such a weird time in comics. Reading stuff online, listening to podcasts and stuff. There's so many good books out right now. And it's almost like they're fighting each other. And it's hard for anything to gain a good foothold. And then they're doing it to themselves. Little things like Mr. Miracle, Doomsday Clock. You know, the odd scheduling is fine, but on time would be great.
Yeah.
Like Saga taking a year off, it's like, how the heck do I order that next number? You know, that next issue. What number am I putting on that?
Bye, Tim.
It's always a game.
Did you see that the Science Center is doing Dr. Trek Wars?
I did not, no.
This weekend?
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Trek Wars. Mm-hmm. Doctor Who, Star Trek, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Ooh. What, Battlestar Galactica getting, you know.
They make the cut. Cylons and Wookiees, mortal enemies. Can't
get
in the same room.
Got it. I'd say the Ood would be more, but sure.
I could have went Daleks.
Is it Dalek or Dalek?
Dalek.
Dalek.
No, whatever.
That's okay.
I don't watch.
We're not going to hold that against Japan.
I don't care if you do.
No, I was trying to think where. I was thinking where I was going from before, but I don't remember. But yeah, I was just on. I looked at the computer and it says I have 16 days to do the order. It's like, okay, I guess it's about time I open up the previews. I'm gonna do that tonight. Just had a lot of stuff going on.
Getting excited for Baltimore?
I am. That's next week. Jeez. Mm-hmm. No, it's not next week. It's the week after next. I am. I got to look a little more at the schedule. The guest list is amazing. And it's like, how long do I want to stay? Because I'm going to leave Thursday morning because I realized at best I could leave Wednesday night after the podcast. I really don't want to get in the car and drive for 5+ hours. And, you know, get there at 2 in the morning or whatever. That's not good.
You're getting a half night's sleep.
Right.
For the hotel.
Right. So I'm like, I'm better off just getting a good night's sleep, leaving at 6 a.m. or whatever. Yeah. I need to be there at noon. So kind of play that by ear. Get down there. I'm excited about the Comics Pro thing. I'm not officially doing anything other than being on the panel for the Ask the Board questions.
You're on a panel?
I'm on a panel.
Is this your first time on a panel?
Well, it's yes. Well, kind of. It'll be my first time on a panel.
Are you going to wear a Pittsburgh Comics shirt?
I am. I'm going to wear one of these. I might go with the blue. I like the blue.
So you should like get somebody to record it so then you could put it on.
Well, it will be recorded. It's going to be FaceTime live, which I think is cool, but probably just on the Comics Pro board page. You guys wouldn't be able to see that.
You can't get a copy of this.
I bet I can.
Link to the stream.
I'll see what I can do. Well, I could definitely show you guys because I have access to it. But they're doing one just ask the board type things. I didn't know what my schedule. I couldn't commit 100% that I was going, so I didn't get to do anything. But one of them is doing a book club. How to run a good book club, and I offered to help with that one. So. We'll see. Since I am going to be there. Well, no, but I am going to say, I am going to bring up the community aspect. No, I'm going to bring up the community aspect of it and the pizza aspect of it. I said, you know, look around. You know, we have a local place that is 4 pizzas for $36. You know, I think it's a pretty good investment to, you know, making people happy and making it a community thing. And, you know, we get 15 to 20 people per, and it's just a good group. But, you know, for giving a talk, okay.
Yeah.
There we go. That was my 30 seconds. You know, I couldn't fill, I don't know how long it is, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is. But, so I'll try. At least I'll be sitting in all of them, and I can certainly add if she says something.
How has your experience been being on the board so far?
Different. Not in a bad way. We haven't done nearly as much as I thought, and I don't know why. The one problem is the meeting's in February, and then it's kind of the ramp up to Free Comic Book Day. So everybody's kind of busy, and not much happened. And then after Free Comic Book Day, it's just kind of, we haven't done as much as I thought. Like, we've done one board meeting on the phone. I thought it would do monthly, or we'd do a lot more. So there really hasn't been as much, and I don't know who that's on. I don't know who's responsible for that. It was interesting because we had the Batman 50 thing that we had to address, everybody coming at us saying, you know, you need to take care of this. And it's like, what can we do? You know, I think many of the members think there's a lot more power. And it's just like, I get what you're saying, but we're just still people. You know, we're just like, hey, we don't like this. And, you know, like the president has a little weight behind his comments and things. But overall, it's like, we can't tell them what to do.
No, not unless you guys vote with your... with your pocketbooks
right.
as a block.
Right,
and
yeah.
There's always going to be somebody not willing to do that.
Sorry, hang on one sec.
His selfie buddy, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, he's not part of Comics Pro.
No, he would never be part.
No, he was up in arms about the whole existence of Comics Pro. Because
okay.
There's a membership fee.
Okay.
That's what he was against, right? He was against the membership fee, or is it...
I don't know that.
I think there's some like big issue with
him.
They
won't kowtow to him, so he.
I think Dennis is more a case of I wouldn't be part of a group that would have me as a member. He just likes to complain. They didn't do enough to meet his demands and his needs and yada, yada, yada. The one thing that we have, and it's completely my fault, but I don't take the total blame for it, but as you recall, if you remember back to last November, I sent an email to the board basically saying that that meeting last February needed to be different, that the market had changed and it can't just be...
You called it your manifesto.
My manifesto, yes. And so they took my idea from the manifesto and had a big brainstorming session where everybody got in small groups. What do you think are the three main problems? How can we address these problems and something else? And then they collated all that information. One of the former board members, she got a doctorate in that kind of stuff, survey analysis and things like that. So she put it all together. And I'm looking, the members are asking, you know, where's the report from this? And we're kind of finalizing it, just fine-tuning more. I just did some editing on it, you know, just grammatical and, you know.
Grammatical?
Grammatical. And one thing was...
I wasn't going to correct him in the that's okay. story. But,
well, but that particular...
Yeah, no, that's fine. But like on one, there were three bullet points.
It was ironic.
Yeah. Two were normal and one was bold and italicized. I'm like, I don't care, but they need to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, just little things like that. They used one turn of a phrase that was used wrong. Little things like that. Grammatical, thank you. But
you should go to the library.
I should. Yeah.
Can you help me with my grammar at the library?
Okay. But I think they're just looking at us to come to present them answers and here's how we can fix all your stores. And I think that's what they're looking for. And we just don't have that.
That's what works here in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Will work
I understand,
places.
But I think people are expecting us to come up with answers.
But it's not your responsibility. I mean, everybody has to run their own business.
Yeah.
And even if you said... Here are the best practices.
Right.
You know someone's going to say, I'm not going to follow this.
Correct.
Hey, my business didn't work.
But
did you follow the best practices?
Correct.
No, it wasn't for me.
But the other thing I said to the board, and hopefully we do implement this, is that that's what we need to have. We need to have somewhere on the organization website, here are the best practices. Here, you know, hiring somebody, here are things you want to look at. Doing that, you know, just have one of the things I said, we need to be a repository of information. That's the biggest thing we have as an organization is the knowledge of all the members. And so let's use that. I was listening to the off-panel podcast. He was over in Dublin and went to Big Bang and did a live podcast. It was with two of the Big Bang guys and Declan Shalvey and... Mooney, I forget his first name. He did Half Past Danger, Stephen Mooney. And one of the things that John said that he likes about Comics Pro is that he heard the number, he thought it was from one of the publishers, said something like 61% of the buying power in the comic retail market is in that room, in that organization. So it's, you know, the best and the brightest kind of thing. It's the big players are all there. So Selfie Buddy was not there.
But if that's 61% of the buying power, you would think you'd have
think
more
that's
of a
what
voice.
They said. Well, we do, but you're still, especially, it used to be better. The problem is the stupid movies have kind of messed everything up. And now Marvel and DC are more corporate. So we have less of a voice. We're, oh yeah, you still buy, so what? The problem we face as an industry is that all the stores are owned individually, where I still remember the time, or hearing at least the story, of the person from Warner Brothers who, when they kind of took over, before DC was just kind of on its own and everything mm-hmm. was great and rosy, and then all of a sudden Warner Brothers got involved and put in some corporate suits into positions, and when one of them realized that there wasn't just one person buying and did not know how to deal with that because they used to, you know, they worked for Warner Brothers selling the book line, like the Harry Potter books. Well, you needed to talk to the buyer at Amazon and the buyer at Barnes & Noble.
Right.
And maybe the buyer at Walmart. So you took care of that, you were done. All of a sudden for this, wait a minute, I have to talk to 2,000 different people and we have to get different orders. And, you know, I remember, I think Carr D'Angelo from Earth 2 was talking to somebody. And she was, like, really interested in what he was saying and all this stuff. And she's like, oh, and how big's your store? Expecting, you know, a big number. And he said, like, you know, 1,200 square feet. And she was like, what? You know, couldn't, you know, she's thinking 50,000 square feet. You know, just, they're just, it's just such a different thing that most corporate people don't get.
50,000 foot.
No, not at all. But she's thinking Walmart. She's thinking Target. She's, you know, thinking big box, not realizing it's mostly mom and pop. So it's a different beast that they're not trained for. And I think it was a very steep learning curve. We've gone through a ton of Warner Brother people because I think they just didn't get it and they couldn't understand why things weren't working. Unfortunately, things like Batman Day this Saturday are emblematic of that.
Yeah, but I, see, and that's something I get what the problem is, but I don't understand that at all. If it's an event geared towards Barnes & Noble, that's fine.
Right.
Go ahead and do that. It's geared towards Barnes & Noble. And maybe do something else for local comic shops, which is, you know, completely different. You know, maybe that's where you do, you know, a special.
But then you get the same problem where if they do something for us, not for us, but if they do something for Barnes & Noble, there'll be enough of us going, yeah, but what about us? And so that's why we get stuff, but it's just not very much. Right, and they just announced their local comic shop day stuff, which I'm actually kind of happy about, because last year was a debacle for DC, a total disaster, but it was an unused cover that a store ordered and didn't buy for Justice League versus Suicide Squad number one. So we got it well after the event. It was that was a disaster.
And it wasn't even that great of an event, so
no.
You're not gonna drive trade sales.
No, that was a bad, but they just announced them today, but I'm excited. It's a special black and white cover of Wonder Woman, The Brave and the Bold, Wonder Woman. Not super great, but nice, just a different cover, and then a special foil of the Green Lantern number one. So which is, that'll be cool.
When does that book come out?
Sometime in November. It comes out probably like the 14th, and local comic shop day is the 17th.
So, those are neat. I wish they would put out some sort of, like, original content.
None of them, I can't think of anybody has done that yet. So far,
This isn't free comic book day.
Right. This is just more to get a collectible.
Yeah.
Behind this.
Premiere for local comic shop day.
I was thinking free comic shop day.
Right.
Or free
comic
book day.
No, you're not getting it for free.
Free comic shop day. Come claim your comic shop.
Someday. No.
Oh, we get the text, we know.
Yeah.
We all have those days.
I'm happy to be on the board. I'm certainly going to run again because I don't think I've accomplished much of anything, but I don't think the board is a whole. Although, one good thing.
If that's not politician speak, I don't know what is.
No,
I haven't accomplished anything, I'm going to run again.
No. But there's just more I want to do, but being new, you don't want to step on toes. You don't know what your position is, kind of. But one thing that I think we've done very well was in the past, you never heard anything. You never heard the board was doing anything. And their excuse on that was a lot of, we do a lot of things behind the scenes that if we made it public, it wouldn't get done, which I can kind of understand. There's a problem, they make a phone call, the problem goes away, but you don't want to upstage the problem, or the company that made the problem, make them look good, that they resolved it when you actually played a part. We've been a little more proactive as far as publicly. Like we said, hey, we've contacted DC about this. You know, we're trying to take it, like the Batman 50, the returnability and stuff like that. We were quite public about that we had contacted them about it and stuff like that. There were some other things over the course of the year. There's only so much we can do. A lot of it is just organizational. I think we need to do more. But, again, I got a lot going on, too. So, but yeah, I definitely want to run again, because this was just kind of filling in a year. So, but I think as a whole, nobody's done a lot. You know, we've tried a couple things, but
sure. After 4 or 5 terms in office, then you get a good committee assignment, and then then you can make stuff happen.
Yeah, I can keep my campaign donations. Yeah, but
sweet.
No, I enjoyed it, and I, you know, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I, you know, stepped up and took some responsibility.
Yeah,
certainly wasn't as scary as I thought.
So you have to
exactly.
Generally, you don't want to call it a manifesto because then people.
I didn't call it a manifesto. Somebody else called it a manifesto, and I just thought it was kind of funny because it did make me feel like the Unabomber.
Bought a cabin in the woods.
But it was enough that they actually wanted me on the board. So it apparently didn't scare them. It made them go, "Oh, this guy's got some ideas." So I've floated a lot of stuff that because we haven't had a meeting. So I gotta kind of get it. Like we're doing something in 2 weeks, so we have that, and then there's local comic shop day, which is in November. So I know there's a lot going on behind the scenes for that, and then we have the meeting coming up. So it's like I don't know when there's a good time to do stuff, but I do feel we should have more talks and discussions and things like that. So, but I, you know, I'm not in charge, so I'm one of the
reins.
I'm one of 7. Well, yeah, but as soon as I get my life in order, yes. So that's why I needed 3 more years. So vote for me. No, I'm kidding.
I'm Colin McMahon, and I approve this message.
There you go. Hey, I like that. Ooh, I like that a lot. Okay.
Run for local government.
I might now, just so I can say that on the radio ad or the Facebook ad. There won't be TV ads. I'm not made about
that. There aren't people running attack ads.
Right. Well,
Colin
there's
McMahon
a couple I could. Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah
like Marvel.
Well, here it's hilarious. This was funny. So I get the only piece of mail I had in the mailbox was this little postcard this morning. I looked at it, and it's announcing the wedding of Ben Grimm and Alicia Masters. And I looked at it, and it says it's Wednesday, December 26th. And I'm like, that's a really good idea because we're doing a skip week this year because Christmas is on Tuesday. So there's really no – and UPS doesn't deliver on the 24th. They just do residential. They don't do commercial deliveries. So there's really no way for us to get the books unless we got them Wednesday. Or, I mean, we got them Friday, but that's going to throw off
yeah
Diamond trying to get things out early like that. Or get them shipped for us to have – they'd have to ship Wednesday for us to have them Friday. And so I'm sure it's a problem for them, which is fine. So we're doing another skip week, which means – the week between Christmas and Thanksgiving, or it's Christmas and New Year's, we're not going to have a regular week of books. We'll get a few, like we'll get a couple Marvels, a couple DCs, and then like an Image, a Dark Horse, you know, the
yeah
brokered publisher. So there won't be much. I think the last time there were like 6 titles. One of them was a trade. I'm like, why would you put a trade on that? I get one trade. Where are we going with that? But, you know, one copy. So, and we'll get those with the previous week's shipment. We'll just have to set those books aside. But I was happy, hey, it's an event. It's something that might draw people in to come into the store. Like one year it was like the first issue of Siege or something. I think a Blackest Night issue shipped that week one year. So I was happy they were doing that. So I actually posted. I said, you know, great job, Marvel, you know, doing this on a skip week. And I've had a lot of people going, so was it great job or was it great job, Marvel? I'm like, no, I was honestly being
wow
complimentary towards them. But a lot of people weren't sure how I meant it. So,
that's yeah how you name a problem.
Yes. Yes. So I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Either I needed to phrase it differently or, yeah.
Great job, Colin.
Yeah, thank you, Josh.
Was that
thank
great
you,
job,
Josh
Colin, or great job, Colin?
That was great job, Colin.
So that was kind of funny. So, yeah, I think most people know where my position is on that. But, yeah, no, but I'm very happy I've been on the board. But I do think there's more we can do. And probably, you know, again, if reelected, it would, I think I'd have a little more say, a little more oomph and everything. Just, I mean, you realize how much everybody has going on. You know, trying to get 7 people together for something is kind of tough because people, you know,
have lives.
Yeah, and with lots of stuff going on, so. But I've really enjoyed it. I mean, I've always been happy. I've been part of Comics Pro since the beginning, so that won't change. So, yeah. Booyah.
Cool.
No more news, Spencer? You're out? You're done? You're spent?
I had my Kyle Higgins thing.
And that that's it? Okay. That Nightwing news. Gosh, shocking.
It's more news than you had.
Harsh.
So, yeah, Pat. Had, like, you had, like, one thing. Or...
I tried. Yeah. I think maybe. I don't know. Pat.
Yes.
What'd you read?
I read Batman.
I read Batman. Yes. I like that.
I did, too. I thought the art was a little...
That was a Matt Wagner fill-in, so choose your words very carefully.
No, it wasn't necessarily the art. It was more the coloring on it.
Okay. I just like Matt Wagner's art a whole lot.
Nightwing looked like a teenager throughout the book. He looked very, I don't know.
Good point?
I didn't hate the art, but I certainly didn't love the art.
The coloring of it, I thought. And like, I get it when it was dealing with, you know, the past where it would kind of be that way and it would be more old-timey. But even the modern-day stuff kind of stuck with that style. I thought it was a little weird. It works better when you're trying to tell two different time periods than what they did.
I thought it worked with the flashback stuff, but yeah, the modern stuff is where it kind of took me out of it. That and it was just how Dick Grayson looked, and also how he like talked throughout the issue. Like some of the things he was saying, I was like, doesn't feel like modern Dick Grayson, but okay.
Eating cucumber sandwiches, watching football.
It's just the way he was talking. It felt like, I don't know, he just felt very much like a teenage Nightwing throughout the whole, like in both looks and dialogue. But
looks, yeah.
I kind of chalked up the dialogue thing to him just kind of trying to take Batman's mind off things.
Yes.
So being extra goofy, but
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just seemed, at some points, a bit too played up. But minor critiques overall. I really enjoyed the issue. I really liked the whole purpose of the issue.
Yeah, I do too. I like it when they have Dick as Batman because he's similar, but he's very different in his approach, and I think that'd be something cool for Tom King to kind of play with, because, you know, where how else can you do it? And this would have been a good opportunity. I know he's kind of got... Go ahead, Colin.
You okay?
Yeah, this thing, you basically said you like how Tom King plays with Dick.
So. That was not what I
You're
said.
You're a child, Colin.
That's what he said.
No, I chose my words very carefully. You can go back and rewind it.
I mean, essentially, that's what you said.
But it's not what I said. Anyway. So, no, but I thought it was a good issue.
I like the cover.
Which, did you get the...
The main cover with, like, the slash down
yeah,
the...
Yeah, that's what I got. Okay. Because I know you do a lot of the variants.
Yeah, that was a Tim Sale when they got back to doing Tim Sales.
The variant was nice, but the main was better. Okay. Tim Sales covers, some I think are fantastic, and others I'm just like, that's way too weird.
I hear you.
Vampironica. Dave, did you read that?
I did read that.
How has that book been? I read the first issue and liked it, and then just never picked up issue two.
I like it. Yeah. Although it was probably, what, 3 months in between
it's
issues?
It's been a long time since issue two, between issue two and three, oh yeah.
Is this a miniseries, or is it ongoing?
I think it's supposed to be an ongoing, but it's Archie Horror, so who knows. Hmm. So the Lodges have Archie come over, which should have been his first clue that there's a problem.
Yeah.
And they were going to turn him or kill him. It was kind of Veronica's choice.
Yeah.
He was bait for her, I guess, to come out. But Dilton and Veronica rescue him.
Dilton, he blows a hole through the side of the house with his big gun that shoots wooden spikes or something.
Yeah. It's supposed to be like wooden stakes.
Wooden stakes, right. Yeah.
They definitely stick to the old vampire tropes. Like, he uses a cross at one point, holy water.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've used garlic yet.
I don't think so, no.
But they don't seem to be allergic to sunlight either.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't established all the vampire rules yet. But it's a really interesting series so far. It's only 3 issues in, so we'll kind of see what happens. But
I really like the art. I think the art's a cut above by Greg Smallwood. He does doing a great job with the facial expression.
I like Smallwood a lot.
Yeah. His wife is writing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
it was good. I hope the 4th issue comes out not before too long.
Well, yeah, if it's going to be a quarterly book, say it's a quarterly book.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Dark Arc. Did you read that one?
I read that too, yeah.
So,
what issue is this now?
10. I think this is going to wrap up in 2 more. It kind of looks that way.
Yeah, especially with the ending there.
Yeah. So the mother of monsters has summoned all the monsters to her, and you know she's going to feed Sheree, who was stuck in the water, finds a pack of zombies and 6 zombies on the mother of monsters. So
yeah.
That gets rid of her. I forget the name of the girl.
Janice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Who's about to be the sacrifice?
Right. Krull, who's the manicure, comes in and is like, nope, she belongs to me.
Yeah.
And he sets her free. Although, yeah. I don't think she's free, just she doesn't have to go back and live with the rest of the humans trapped.
Yeah. Yeah, she can live with Sheree and his family up top.
Yeah. And they've already mentioned it has stopped raining, so the water should recede. And my guess is, you know, they can usually wrap this up in 2 more issues.
We'll see if it's the landing here, because it's been a great series.
Maybe, you know, they're on one side of Mount Ararat, and Noah's on the other, and yeah. You know, they each go their separate ways, who knows.
Yeah, they haven't see what's going on with Noah after the... It's been a few issues since we saw him.
Yeah. But it... They got more out of the story than I ever thought they were going to. This is a 6-issue mini at best.
Yeah.
But I could even see... I think they'll wrap it up in 12, but I could see it going on because you know, once they kind of get off the ship, there's so many other things you can do with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing it go on if he come up with a good story.
It's not really a dark arc at that point, but...
Yeah.
You know, the dark tribe.
Yeah,
maybe
they can change the title for a second volume or something like...
Yeah.
Many series have done.
Well, yeah, I mean, even Rough Riders kind of had subtitles throughout, so
you could
do that.
Right, exactly, right.
That's it.
Okay.
So, Spencer, what'd you read?
Green Arrow.
I like that a lot.
I did, yeah. I like this issue. Or this just, like, this kind of stuff.
This arc so far has been good, yeah.
With this new, because this is like the steady creative team on it now.
Yeah,
I think,
Julian, Shauna Benson, I think their names are.
Yeah.
Or the writers. Who was the artist on this issue?
Somebody familiar. I remember their style, but I can't think of the name of them right now. But
Javier Fernandez.
There you go. But, it starts out with Ollie in a mid-speed car chase, right?
Let's set up first. So there's this new vigilante named Citizen. And Citizen is putting out... is taking people to task that he feels have gotten away with with treating, you know, with taking advantage of the rest of the city and its occupants. And it feels like the heroes like Green Arrow don't actually, you know, take things as far as they should to rid, you know, the world of these people.
Oh, he's the Punisher.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. But he's the Punisher on social media. So he is letting people vote on who he's going to go after and then vote on if he's actually going to, you know, kill this person and bring them to justice or not. And in the first issue, he goes after, like, this slumlord guy.
Yeah.
And people vote on it and he ends up killing the guy during a live stream. And when we see in this issue now, we're seeing the fallout of it because he's named Oliver Queen as one of his targets. And people are also now being interviewed saying, you know, how do you feel about this? And people are saying, oh, I didn't realize it was for real. I thought it was a joke. Now I've helped commit murder. While other people are saying, yeah, this guy's doing what needs to be done. And it looks like this guy has, you know, a moral code to him because even as he's going after one of his targets, he doesn't kill, like, all of her bodyguards or you know, protectors. He just knocks him out and goes after her.
So they were innocent.
And he puts out a bounty on these people. So Oliver Queen's in this high speed chase because everyone's kind of after him to try and find him and take him to this citizen. And we found out why he's after Oliver Queen.
Yeah, which I thought was a real, like, not cool, but like I thought it was an interesting kind of story twist and stuff to it.
So essentially, Oliver Queen murdered someone in a hit and run. Well, not really hit and run, but like a vehicle accident.
Him and his friends were out drinking, got into an accident.
He said he was fine to drive. They hit something, and she was murdered.
They thought they just wrecked themselves. They didn't know that they...
Yeah, apparently his dad paid off the cops to, you know, cover it up and just say that she was the victim of some other hit and run. So Oliver Queen and his friends didn't even know that they actually, you know, killed this woman. So that's why he's the target of the citizen. And since the citizen can't get a hold of him, he goes after a different one of his targets, this woman who has been, like, doping. Like, she's a horse breeder and races these horses and has been doping these horses to kind of, you know, fix the bets and robbing people of, you know, millions of dollars.
I do like the citizen's way of taking her out, though, the drunk horde thing.
Yeah, but it was good. It's a really, really good issue. It's bringing in...
And that last scene there at the end,
That was awesome! So, yeah, like, you have Oliver trying, like, he's kind of holed up with Black Canary and trying to figure things out. She thinks that this was a bit of a setup, and then he admits, you know, I did do this. I didn't know I killed someone, but I did get in this accident. I was drinking, and at the very end, they think an assassin or someone has found him in his like forest hideout and has come to get them, and it's Superman floating above saying, just, you know, like, Oliver, we need to talk.
So I could be, you know, being in Green Arrow's shoes, you know.
Yeah.
See, I'm... I wouldn't want to know where that goes, because he didn't seem too happy.
No, it was good. It was. I'm sure the relationship will be a bit different now since, you know, the arc from before where he had to kind of go and get the help from all the different Justice League members and kind of, you know, made amends with all of them. So.
And then kind of became like a part of, like, not a part of the team, but like...
The failsafe.
Yeah, and if, you know, if needed to be called upon, so that, like, looks like it maybe be... messing with those relationships a little bit.
Yeah.
Green Lanterns. Is this one of the books you dropped, or are you just behind?
I didn't drop it. So what happened is I stopped reading it because someone told me that it had gotten ahead of Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
So I stopped reading because I didn't want to spoil anything.
It didn't really.
But in the process, I think I somehow ended up...
Like, putting books away?
Put a book away that I hadn't read yet. So I went to get caught up on Green Lanterns. I started reading one. I was like, this doesn't make sense. And I just haven't gone through and found the one that I
still have to read yet. That can be a hassle. You have to go dig through the backlogs. this whole story arc there is they're finding like this new mystery bad guy, and somebody's been like messing with their rings, and Baz's ring is telling him he needs to, because they're off like in the middle of space fighting this guy who's trying to destroy this planet and like everybody that lives on it. So all like the Earth Green Lanterns besides Stewart and Kilowog is there. Oh, they're trying to stop this from happening, and Baz's ring tells him he needs to leave and head to Earth. If you go to Earth, you'll be able to, help everybody else, and there's a storm on Mogo, and somebody killed a guardian, because apparently you can just do, like, it's just me, the past couple years, it's just been really super easy to kill guardians. They're just getting murdered left and right.
There's not that many left.
No, there's not. But so Baz finally makes it to Earth, because the ring is telling me he has to go to the Fortress of Solitude. Superman needs his help. So he has to like blast his way in and use like all of his will. And it turns out that he accidentally freed Cyborg Superman. He's the one who's been messing with their rings. Apparently he can
hack the ring.
Yeah, he can hack the ring somehow. Use that, like, using his mind, he can hack their rings and somehow put a phantom ring on him, so he's able to like control him that way and stuff like that. So he Baz tries to fight him, doesn't go well. Cyborg Superman takes off. Baz is like, well, I have to go clean up my mess. He goes back into the Fortress of Solitude and is like, I know I should have done this, but he goes and he grabs, like, for some reason Superman has these high-tech guns just in the fortress, so he arms himself up with a gun again, since, you know, he didn't have anything to back himself up with if something happened to the ring. That was, you know, like, that was his thing there for a while, so now he has some new high-tech gun, and he's gonna go off and try to, I guess, put Cyborg Superman back in his place. But all the other Lanterns think that he's a traitor, that, you know, he's the one who killed the Guardian and is with the alien race that tried to kill the planet and stuff like that. So they're gonna be coming after him here soon. Nightwing. This is starting a new story arc. He's on this this island that only at a certain time of year, every so many years, it's like people from all over the galaxy come to this island for this like huge like death race kind of scenario thing, and the winner gets like the ultimate prize where you get whatever you want. So he's in this race because, I forgot to mention in the annual last week that cybernetic monster thing that he's been fighting the last couple of issues has trapped Vicky Vale and, I can't think of his name, but that one, like, client that he was trying to help that had all the cybernetic parts and stuff in the beginning of the last story arc. So the monster tells him, like, I need this thing that he can only get from winning the race, so he has to win the race to get this to save his friends, but he can't win the race because if he gives this to this thing, he'll be able to, like, hack, like, everything on the planet and stuff like that. And, so in some, before the race, some mystery, character, tries to assassinate him, and, fails, because before the race you have to drink this, like, crazy concoction, and after drinking it, causes him to cough a lot, so he just happens to bend down as the person tries to shoot at him, so the person next to him, like, catches a bullet in the head. But then the race starts, and, like, Professor Pig's there, so he has to, like, fight him a little bit on the road.
It's like the Batman version of Wacky Races.
A little bit. And then they're getting ready to go through this this tunnel in a mountain, and apparently it can. This tunnel is like a weird access point in time and stuff, so you can end up in weird places. And as he's entering, that's when Silencer shows up and is like starting to shoot him down, and that's kind of like where the issue ends. But I've been liking this first issue. I've liked a lot more than what the last story arc. I don't know if it's the art was a lot better, so I don't know if that maybe just had something to do with it, that it just looked nicer, but it was pretty nice. I liked it. And Justice League?
I read that.
Nice little kind of wrap up to the... Okay, I think it's pretty much wrapped up that for the first story arc.
Kind or did of. It?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to keep on going. Okay. It's going to be one of those long...
I liked it. I couldn't explain to you exactly what happened. It's just kind of a wacky book. Flash had to harness the power of the Still Force to save the day. Hawk Girl was a badass against Luther.
With her special wings.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been a really good book. The art's been great. The story's been pretty solid. The only thing that stuffs me in this issue, which is surprising considering who the writer is, the little bit where Batman kind of talked, he didn't sound like Batman almost, which is funny because it's Scott Snyder writing it, who is very familiar with Batman.
Yeah.
Like just the part where Batman, played along and almost like did his own like Batman impersonation.
Yeah.
Just.
And then, too, they didn't really clear up too much of, like, how, like, last issue he, like, got seriously crippled, so they just kind of put him in, like, a suit.
Yeah, like, this crazy,
so,
like...
So, like, I don't know, maybe if next issue they're, like, they'll dive into that a little bit, but it's almost...
I forgot he got all jacked up in that previous issue, because I'm looking at this issue, like, what's with this cow he's wearing, this giant...
It almost kind of reminds me of, like, the Kingdom Come, like an updated version of that, almost, but... Because he even is like, you're lucky I can't even move, like, but that was my probably only main concern of, like, not really going into, like, what happened to Batman getting really screwed up, but.
Yeah.
I'm definitely digging this series over the last incarnation of, or the last couple of
It feels like a Justice League book.
Yeah.
So it's good.
And I think that's it.
Okay. I read Avengers number 7.
Okay, I'm way behind on those.
This is a standalone issue.
This is the Cosmic Ghost Rider riding a woolly mammoth on the cover.
Well, it's origin of Ghost Rider 1 million BC.
Okay. So is he like the first Ghost Rider then?
The first Ghost Rider. Yeah.
Well, there was the 2 million BC, but he was just like an amoeba. And it was...
Nice.
Thank you.
Well, what do you ride?
Another
mom.
Oh! Josh dropping the hammer.
So he did too.
Man. Going in like a hurricane.
So you're calling him he's going in like a hurricane, and what hurricanes look like. Is that what you're calling him?
Yeah.
Dick Grayson?
But I did see someone they're going to start calling him Rich.
Yeah, Richard.
So, I saw that article, Bleeding Cool.
I just saw the headline.
And
TLDR.
If you read the article, there's nothing in there that leads you to think they're changing his name.
What? Bleeding Cool? Oh, just to interrupt.
Dave.
1 second, Dave. Sorry.
Of course.
I know, of course. the off-panel podcast, it was interesting because as I was listening to it, I was thinking about... We really need some good comic journalism again. And even just a good comic news source. Yeah. And it was very interesting that that came up during the podcast where John Hendricks was talking about, we need one that doesn't also talk all about movies and TV.
And wrestling.
And wrestling and things like that. And I'm like, that's exactly what I was just thinking. Because, that's what I miss. And I stopped looking at them because it was like, movie, movie, movie. It's like, I don't care. you know, especially, you know, Ms. Marvel. Well, guess what? We're all going to see it in the theater. I don't care anything you're showing me a first look. Okay, you know, I don't, you know, why is everything dominated by that?
Did you read Amazing Heroes?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, yes.
I read that in the Comics Journal, and those were kind of different ends, but they were both great.
Right.
And real, it was real journalism, I thought, for the most part, people writing good stories about the business.
Yeah. Is that your read? Right. Is that your read? Oh, okay.
Just well, you are a journalist, like though, a right, Dave? So maybe you need to bring it back.
No, mine's down there.
I would love to. Oh yeah.
It's also 9 o'clock, guys.
But Ghost Rider.
Sorry. Yes. Back to Ghost Rider. I apologize. Are you done? Yes, I am done. I will not interrupt you.
It's okay. Main character. It's a boy. He lives with a tribe of ape men, man apes, and a stranger comes and kills everybody except the boy, and the boy is above average intelligence. He's much more intelligent than everybody else. And the stranger tells the boy, if you want to find out who I am, cross the tundra and find me. So the boy sets off on his journey, and he runs into a snake, this white, it's kind of like an ice snake, who is Mephisto.
Hitman Plissken.
That was an actual... Actual reptile. And Mephisto gives him the power of Ghost Rider. And he finds the stranger, and I won't give that away. He reveals who he is. And Odin and the Phoenix drop in at the end.
It's Nick Fury, senior.
Yep.
But it's a good issue. I mean, Jason Aaron, this is the kind of story he excels at. These individuals on the quest for vengeance, whether it be Southern Bastards or Scalped or whatever. And the issue is all about vengeance. And looks like next issue we'll get back to the regular Avengers. The Avengers team forms following that arc with the Celestials. Cover number one.
I read that.
I was interested about that when I.
It was interesting. Bendis' new book with David Mack on art is very distinctive art.
It is, and it changed throughout. I found that very interesting. It started off very basic, very nothing, almost like blue line. Yeah. And then it eventually developed into the full painted style. I'm sure it was done on purpose, but that was interesting.
But the premise of the book is that intelligence agencies have figured out that comic book creators travel all over the world and would make perfect spies. So it started, the main character is this creator, Max Field. And he's at a convention in Detroit, I think. And this woman comes out to him, Julia, and offers $2,000 for his art when he only wanted $800. And then he goes to a convention in London, and she shows up again. And they have she wants to have dinner with him. And she tells him she's in the CIA. And then she takes a call and disappears. And then he goes...
Yeah, and he had to buy it at a very expensive restaurant. He had to pay, yeah.
And then he ends up at a con in Istanbul. And who's waiting there for him when he gets off the plane is this Julia. So yeah. I don't know what direction this is going to go, but...
Yeah.
It was interesting. Never read something like this before.
Yep, it was good. Two problems with it. It was a little drawn out. I think a little more could have happened. But the other problem is only relative to comic book store owners in that cover number one is very hard to search for in the database because it pops up every cover number one. So like Batman, or not necessarily Batman, but let's say Dynamite, where they have cover A, B, C, D, and E. So you type in cover, and it pulls up every cover number one of every Dynamite book. So you then have to go and search, you know, refine it down to buy Bendis and.
So, yeah, even if you did Bendis just, cover, you're still going to get every book of his.
Yeah, yeah. So that really sucked. So. Not a big issue, but it was a pain when I was like searching and trying to find the solicit and stuff. It was not easy.
And lastly, read James Bond Origin.
How was that?
Number one. It was very good.
Okay. It's like him as like a teenager or almost preteen?
He's 17 years old.
Oh, okay.
He's 17 years old going to, I think, college in Scotland, teaching judo classes. And this issue is narrated by a commander in the British Navy. And he's I guess he's teaching at the school. And he takes the kids, including Bond, to Clydebank shipyards. And they're there during when the Germans, during the Blitz, the Clydebank Blitz, when the Germans
bomb Pearl Harbor.
Bomb these shipyards.
You read that in the library.
In the library.
So there's some fist fights and a motorcycle chase, and then at the end, this he took the kids to the shipyard to get them interested in joining the British Navy, and then at the end he reveals, you know, Britain's gonna come up with a new branch that where the agents
rely on. Space Force?
Not Space Force. Bond and Space Force would be good, but they rely more on their wits and guile than firepower.
Okay.
And it was written by Jeff Parker. He did a good job. And the art by some guy, Bob Q.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then Josh mentioned Tim Seale. It kind of reminded me of Tim Seale a little bit, the art. But I really enjoyed it. It did a good job overall. That's all I had.
That's all you have?
Okay.
Deathstroke.
I read that.
Yeah, this was the end of the Batman versus Deathstroke arc.
I'm going to say this is the last issue. I dropped it after this issue.
Were you only buying it because of the Batman versus?
Well, no, I was getting it before, but then this story arc started, and I was kind of like, it seems better, but then I just kind of had to make cuts, so I figured I'd.
I'm on the fence on if I'm going to keep it, because I like this arc quite a bit.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, it was a good ending. So, Batman and Deathstroke in this issue were pretty much just like beating the crap out of each other in the Batcave. Deathstroke was playing it off as if he still didn't realize that Batman was Bruce Wayne, but I don't know if I buy it because it seemed pretty unbelievable to me that he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Realize like he would still think that Bruce Wayne is just a benefactor of Batman's.
Well, like I think he like Deathstroke's the kind of guy he would have known that even before all this.
Yeah.
Like you know, like he just like
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me that he would know.
Like he knew that the Batcave was there. He knew that Batman operates there.
Yeah.
But he just was at least playing it off as if he didn't realize that, you know, they were the same person. It was just like, you know, Wayne was letting him use these catacombs under his house. But they were pretty evenly matched, which kind of puts Batman out ahead because Deathstroke has some, you know, superhuman abilities, yeah. And while they are duking out in the Batcave, GCPD is raiding the manor above because of Deathstroke's ex-wife, release some false information to kind of point to Bruce Wayne being involved in this theft of this technology before. But the issue resolves with, you know, essentially finding out that someone else planted the evidence about Deathstroke and being the father of Damian Wayne. They found out that Talia was the one that did it, although they come to an agreement that, like, Batman says that it was Deathstroke's ex-wife, but Deathstroke knows it was Talia and goes and seeks her out and finds out she did this just to almost get his attention, it seemed like. Batman finally had actual paternity test done.
Yeah.
And made sure had a you know. That was a Dick was involved. Three.
Wow. No wonder they didn't know who it was.
I guess that is possible. You okay?
I am.
So Alfred brings him the actual paternity test results, and then he just throws in the fire and says he doesn't need to see anything. He's the father of Damien.
Is that Alfred?
Mm-hmm.
Alfred's the father.
Which they go and they show you at
the end. Yeah, you see that. Yeah, he was the dad. But no, it was a good wrap up issue. I'm curious to see
where it goes.
What
afterwards.
They're gonna do with the next arc? I have liked this book. I've liked Priest's writing style on the book.
Mine was just the need to cut things
and $4.99. That's the thing. I
plan on wanting to eventually once they get caught up trade wise. Want to continue to read it to see where it goes.
It's what I'm on the fence about. That one and Titans.
I cut Titans. I'm finishing this storyline and then I'm gonna be done with it.
I really liked that Titans special.
Yeah.
Issue that came out, but I feel like the actual normal issues that have come out since then have not lived up to the impact of that special issue that came out.
And it's just kind of like whenever I picture a Titans book, it's not what I picture a Titans book. They haven't really had a good Titans or Teen Titans book in a long time.
Yeah. I dropped Teen Titans.
Yeah, I dropped that one too.
Yeah. And Black Science is the other book that I wanted to mention. This issue was great. This story's been great. This book's been great. There's only one arc left, which bums me out. Just great Rick Remender storytelling. Absolutely gorgeous Mateo Scalera art on this book. But this issue, they finally made it to the center of the onion, center of the multiverse. And when they get there, they seemingly find out that the inhabitants of this, original world, the one that looks like it's at the core of the entire multiverse, looks like they created the rest of the multiverse and all the different permutations of reality that exist throughout the multiverse. And it seems like they created these other realities almost as a form of, entertainment or voyeurism for the inhabitants of that world. Because it appears as though everyone else out there in these different, realities are just avatars for the inhabitants of this, core reality. And they're walking through this sea of people and all just standing there wearing these, VR helmets and Grant puts one on and essentially, jumps into the, life of someone else. And while he's only in the helmet for a few minutes, from his perspective, he spent 15 years living out the life of this other person, this other reality. So once he realizes that, they then start to think that any hope of finding their kids is lost. That they're not really even their kids; they're all just these puppets for these creatures. So, he and his wife finally seem to come to terms that they can't, reunite their family. They can't accomplish what they set out to do. That as this multiverse is collapsing, that they are just, doomed to die in this core world with everyone else. And just as it looks like, all hope is lost. And I knew the book was ending soon. And I'm reading, is this the final issue? I thought they had another arc left. Maybe this is the final issue. It's like, man, this is really going to end on a down note, which is fine. But it got me essentially. And then at the very last minute, they get beamed out of there onto the ship with, all of their, companions throughout the series, but different, in some cases, different versions of these companions. So it was a really cool ending. Sets it up for this last arc. I'm really excited to see where they go, since now it appears that the entire multiverse has been destroyed, so I don't know how this ship is even in existence, but yeah, this has just been a great series. This is one of the first Image books I picked up when I started reading comics those years ago, so I'm sad to see it coming to an end, but it's good. That's it.
Okay. I had Thanos Legacy, which is filling in the gap between the end of the Thanos, Donny Cates' Thanos run and what happened in Infinity Wars. So, minor spoiler, but in Infinity Wars Prime, he was got his head cut off by Gamora. So,
who did?
Thanos.
So,
at the end of the Thanos run, he had gone into the future and confronted his older self, who had spent all his life trying to woo death and at the end wasn't much of a man, and he beat him and vowed never to become that person. So he gets back from the future to the present, and yada, yada. I honestly don't remember what all happened, but it was basically just leading up to, it was filling in the gap between that and Infinity, where I'm sure he's never going to get better, and he's going to be dead forever. So that was the end of Thanos.
Forever. We're
never going to see him again. One news thing that they announced a new, it was X-Men Exterminated, and it's going to be a Cable retrospective because he died in the first issue of Exterminated, and as everybody's saying, wow, however could you bring back a time-traveling guy? Oh my gosh, I guess he's dead forever.
That got killed by his younger self.
Yes. So. Next one, Bone Parish number 2. This is Colin Bunn. I forget if it's Boom or Image. I apologize. Yeah. And this is where they're making drugs out of deceased people. They're taking, like, you know, famous artists, and then you take the drug and you see their memories and feel like you're living their life. Well, first, a dealer has OD'd, and it goes into a little more of the family backstory. The one son, the one daughter is the main drug maker, and she makes a comment at one point that if, you know, she ever left, she'd be nothing to this family. They don't care about her. The one son they view kind of as a little, he went on a mission with his dad before his dad died, you know, like gunning down the bad guys and stuff. And it's just really playing out very interestingly now that it looks like there's going to be a couple people moving in on them. Like New York is trying to buy him out, but then there's also a Mexican drug cartel kind that's going to be making a gunning for this. So this is going to be, it's interesting. It's very, very good. I've quite enjoyed it. Border Town is the first of the new Vertigo books, and it actually sold out quickly, which apparently hasn't happened in a long time to a Vertigo book.
I heard that book was good.
It was very good. Basically, there's a little town on the border of Mexico and Texas where all of a sudden, like, this strange things are happening, and these creatures, or at least one creature, comes through, and it basically becomes your worst nightmare. So, like, for some people, it becomes, you know, this evil giant ice agent, or somebody think, oh, it's a chupacabra, and different things like that, and then, so it goes into a little bit with the family, and then it has to, or, yeah, and there's some school kids involved, and one of them shoots it as it's attacking as an ice agent, and it runs back to its other dimension. It goes through a fence and, like, pops up in this other dimension, and it just turns out it's like this little bored little creature who just goes out to have fun, but all of a sudden this giant god of death comes up, and it goes, hey, you effed up, you know, so it was a good ending, but it was very enjoyable. I thought it was really good. And then the last one was a book I've been really looking forward to, and I was not disappointed, which was The Dreaming number 1, which was really a lot of fun. I could see it flashing on the side of the bookcase. They're coming for us, guys. No, sorry, the blue, red and blue lights
were
flashing.
What you do, Dave, what you do?
Yeah.
Well, you know your future date.
That's true. But the Dreaming number 1 kicks off right from the Sandman special, where the Sandman has abandoned his realm and bad things are happening. And there's this new girl named, I want to say Dora. I hope her name's Dora. But And just where she can go into people's dreams and goes in there and she eats there, like, and you know they're like, oh, you can't do this. It's like, well, no, but her this lady's, you know, she's crippled in bed dying, but she has these vivid dreams of cooking dinner for big families,
pancakes,
and stuff. So she's enjoying that and stuff, and just about her and about Lucian the librarian trying to keep things together, and at one point he imitates Sandman to chase this one demon who had realized that the defenses were down and came in and kind of did that to kind of chase him away. So it was really good. It just very much felt like Sandman, and, you know, in the Sandman universe again. So that was really very enjoyable. The new one came out today, House of Whispers. I only read about half of it. I was sitting here reading it yesterday, and I got interrupted. Jeez, customers. I was really enjoying that one. Had a good Vertigo feel. So very enjoyable. I like those. So that's what I read.
Very cool.
Anybody, anything missed that you passed on and hoping somebody else would?
I remember I read The Dead Hand, issue of The Dead Hand. It was pretty good. I don't know if this was supposed to be a miniseries, if they're doing like if this is just the end of the story arc, or is it the 6th issue.
I think it just might be the end.
But it kind of wrapped up things pretty nicely. That's why I was thinking it might have been the end. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody because it's kind of like a spy suspense, kind of feel to it. But it was really good. Anybody interested in the series, I would suggest picking it up and reading it.
It was Kyle Higgins, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the same.
What's coming out next week?
Lots of stuff. I'm really excited about next week. Lots of really neat stuff. Amazing Spider-Man Annual number one. This is interesting because after Secret Wars, Peter got back with the Venom symbiote, and we were having fun with that today.
Symbiotes?
Yeah, symbiotes. It's a very symbiotic relationship.
Do you like Holland symbiotes?
Sorry. Then the reason why he got rid of it in issue 300 with the bells and everything was because he was waking up realizing it was making him go out and do things and he didn't know what he was doing. So this is actually the story of what was happening those nights when the suit was going out. So I thought that was kind of a cool story idea. Aquaman 40 is continuing the Cinque Atlantis storyline, Avengers 8. Batman 55, which is where something bad happens to Mr. Grayson.
No.
Batman Damned number one. This is the new black label book from DC. This is the Brian Azzarello Constantine. Constantine.
I'm going to take your phone away from you.
No, Sandy's texting me. Oh. She's having trouble. She's trying to print something and having trouble. I'm sorry. Batman Damned is the Batman Constantine book by Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo.
It's gorgeous.
Yes, it does. Black Badge number two. Dave and I are reading that one. Looking forward to that one. See where this one goes. That was the Matt Kent one about the Boy Scouts. Black Hammer Age of Doom number five. Which I highlighted only because that sells better than most Marvel books and a lot of DC books. So it's just nice that this, not indie book, but smaller publisher book, is doing really, really well here. Burnout's number one, which is interesting. These guys are fighting aliens, but they can only see the aliens when they're stoned. So I just thought that was a funny concept. Captain America Annual number one. The neat thing with this, Teenie Howard is writing this. She started on, the first time I ever saw her was on a Black Mask book called The Skeptics. And then she went on and she was doing some other things, but now Captain America, it's pretty cool. Dick Tracy Dead or Alive is coming out. This is Mike Allred is doing this one. If you like guys with funny faces and heads and things. G.I. Joe Real American Hero Silent Option. This is a new miniseries from them. Go-Go Power Rangers Back to School. You go out fighting crime, and then you gotta still go back to school.
Yeah.
Stinks. Impossible Inc. This is a new one from IDW. Infinity War Soldier Supreme. This is the first of the Warps books where they merge people together, and this is a merge of Captain America and Doctor Strange. John Wick 3, you said it would never come out, but it's coming out. Justice League 8. Mr. Miracle 11, very excited about this. Mitch Gerrits is saying that this is like the best script he's ever read. He hopes he did it justice. Mr. and Mrs. X number 3, that's a completely different book. Multiple Man number 5. Olivia Twist, book with a little twist on Oliver Twist. Patience, Conviction, Revenge. I like this. This is a new one from Aftershock. And the basic premise is this guy was in the mob and got kicked out. And he went out, he lived, you know, in Vegas, he went out and he lived in a shack in the middle of the desert and he built up this robot army and now he's coming back to Vegas to regain his seat at the table.
With a robot army.
Exactly. See, yep, yep, you got it. Pearl 2, which is the next one from that Bendis book. Quantum and Woody, number 10. One problem for you two guys is, for some reason, I'm only getting covers A, C, and D, and the foil is B. So I'm going to have to look in to see what happened there.
What?
I know I ordered them. Return of Wolverine, number 1.
Maybe it's delayed.
It could be. I'm going to have to check. I just didn't have a chance.
Cancel my entire pool list now.
I understand. I will.
All of it?
Yeah,
all
I
of
will. It. I understand.
Don't do that. Kim won't let you buy the books.
That's true. Return of Wolverine, number 1. We're supposed to do a midnight release, but I'm not. No offense. All offense.
That's a good point.
Shadow Man, number 7. Stabbity Bunny, number 7. I thought that one was done at 6, so it's continuing on.
I did, too.
And then we have Venom, number 6. This one's been really big. Venom First Host, number 4. This one's a weekly. West Coast Avengers, number 2. And the last issue of X-Men Gold. It's wrapping up at issue 36, leading into Uncanny X-Men.
Until they bring it back.
Well, possibly. So, that's what's coming next week. Book Club is actually not this month. We're kicking it to the first Friday in October, the 5th, where we're doing Batman, Dark Knights, A True Story. I just sold out today. I apologize. I'll get more in. I'd ordered plenty last week, and I didn't feel I needed more. And then I sold, like, 3 copies today. So,
if you're not familiar and you're curious, this particular Batman story is written by Paul Dini, talking about how...
Creator of the Batman animated series.
Yeah, about how he was very violently assaulted.
Yeah, he was mugged, and they beat him up pretty good.
Yeah, and how... Batman and like the kind of the world he created kind of helped bring him back, you know, from the brink.
He went to a very dark place.
Yeah. So it's a very, very different graphic novel and a very, very good graphic novel.
I haven't had a chance to get into it yet, but I hear nothing but good things about it.
It was excellent.
Yeah, it was really good.
I saw him in person at a con one time when he was a writer on Lost.
Oh.
So I think for only one season, like the second season or something, so every question was about Lost other than Batman,
like,
the animated series.
I didn't know he was writer on Lost.
Yeah.
So, oh, and Saturday is Batman Day. So we're going to have a special Batman sale, and I have the books to give away. But, like I said, it's mostly a Barnes & Noble thing, so we'll be participating. But
you going to have the masks again this year?
No, they only did that the first year. They did the masks, they did the capes. This year there was nothing. I think we could have bought more masks, but I'm like...
Probably have some still sitting around.
We probably got rid of all of them, but they weren't cheap either, so... So it kind of doesn't have a big effect. It's not a big event, day. So that's what we got going on here. Any questions, want to get a hold of me, it's always... you can find me at the store, PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. PGH Comics on Twitter and Instagram. Always posting stuff. Always love your comments. So, I'm going to say that is the week. Dave!
That's the podcast.
We'll talk to you later. See ya.
Adam Williams.